Wonderful. Well, good afternoon. It's now a minute after 3 o'clock, so we're right on time. And I'm happy because for half an hour, does run by so quickly. And this young lady who is in our company this afternoon has got such an extensive amount of work and engagement that she's been involved in, all on the levels of community growth, national growth, women and children rights. And she's got a lot going on. And we're about to introduce her this afternoon. Her name is Diane Francis. Di, and she's a Mikudian. Can I say that? She's a Mikudian. She's a Mikudian and Mikud Village, to be exact.
Yes.
It's from the Mikud Village, right? Good afternoon, sweetheart.
Good afternoon, good afternoon.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I have to be sitting in for Earthquake this afternoon, so I hope you don't mind. Because I know probably you come. Youth Unplugged is Khalid. So Khalid's unable to make it, so I had to sit in this afternoon. But I'm very interested because I look at your little thing there and I'm like, wow, this young lady is quite a lot. You know, it's quite a lot. Tell me a little bit about you, though. Mikud Village born,
yes.
Nice, but I mean, just tell me a bit about you, your groundedness.
I'm Diane, I'm 25 years old.
Okay.
I studied medicine, as we discussed earlier.
Right.
But I always was involved in youth work, growing up,
right.
Volunteerism, that was part of what my parents instilled in us as a family. And I decided to go into medicine after secondary school. After secondary school, I went to university.
Right.
And during my tenure at university, I realized that there was not much room for community work and community development in that hectic schedule.
What? Before we go there, what prompted you into the medical field?
I mean, I have a love for... I'm just curious about things. And I think science really... speaks to that. If you're curious, that's a field to go into.
Right.
Answers questions. It's so like, it's amazing what science does. So I was like, okay, I love science. Let me do some science. So I did a science stream at school. And afterwards I was like, okay, I got this. I'll be a doctor. And it was never something that I, you know how children have dreams and they say, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
No.
I want to be a nurse. I never had
that. It was science that drives
I was like, okay, I'm good at science. This is what I'm going to do.
Oh.
I'm going to be a doctor.
Interesting.
And my parents were just like, okay, perfect. We're going to fund this. And they sent me to medical school.
Nice.
But you know how life is.
I
when
know.
I started studying and I was almost done with my program, I was like, okay, what really is my passion?
Yeah.
Is this my passion or did I go into it because I was good at it?
Yes.
So I really had to take a step back and it really speaks to the importance of pivoting and being true to yourself as a young person. Even if people don't see it as, a lot of people say, why did you leave medicine to do this?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's what I'm passionate about and it's what drives me, it's what fuels me.
All of this transitioning is happening at a very tender age.
Very
like
young
that.
Age.
So when you qualified as a doctor, how old were you then?
I was, let's see, I was 20 when I left
school. Oh my,
school, yeah.
Look at you. Jesus, man.
Yeah, I was 20.
Wow.
And it's a lot to think about for a 20-year-old.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was like, you know what, this is my time to do things for myself. So a lot of times as a woman, we serve others.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, if I have to serve others, let's leave this for motherhood. So when I get to motherhood, I can leave myself
behind. And you're not
behind.
There yet.
Not
right,
there
you're
yet.
Not there yet.
So right now, I was like, this is the time for me to do everything for myself. So this is the time to follow my passions. This is the time to invest in myself.
Wow.
And in the medical field, it's not, I don't want to say it's very limiting, but people are expected for you to limit yourself to one field when you study medicine.
Right.
So I was like, okay, right now, maybe later, that might be the field for me, but as of right now...
And it
now,
might play some role in where you want to go, your passion as well.
Yes, it definitely did,
I don't think things happen by chance.
Yeah.
But as a young person, being so driven, being so focused, and you know, to be able to have completed... medical training at such a young age. What speak to yourself as a person? What kind of person are you? You spend a lot of time. Are you a social person? How do you do it?
I love socializing. So I have a huge family. I'm one of six kids. So I'm one of two girls in my family.
Okay.
So we were just. My parents raised us to be very communicative, very like leaders,
right.
And my mom is a teacher, so I have that in me, that kind of...
It was a no-brainer.
So she really instilled in us the importance of leading and the importance of volunteerism and giving back and serving your community and serving your people. So I think that's where it started in my household.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go out and do things for our community. Everyone, my mom was part of everything.
Right.
And everything she went to, we went to. So that's where it really started. And it really helped me develop myself as a person. It really helped me develop my character. Mm-hmm. And I just really love the feel. I love meeting new people.
Right.
I love socializing. I love learning new things. So community work and developing that, it's really the space for these kinds of people. People who love to communicate, people who love to learn things, people who love to serve others. Community work is definitely the place for
Let me talk about some of that. We have time. So let's talk about some of the things. And you started off as a youth activist.
Yes.
Like, let's talk now about you and serving and community.
Right.
Because that's where your passion lies and that's where you spend a lot. You've been doing quite a lot there. So you started off as a youth activist. Right now, currently, you are where? You are the...
I'm the programs coordinator at Girls of a Feather.
Girls of a Feather.
So,
right. So again, service based. You know, tell me about your start now. When you realized this was your passion and you started to explore avenues where you could have contributed not just even more on a bigger scale. Tell me about it.
So I think it started in secondary school, early secondary school. There was a camp called Lucian Leaders Summit.
Okay.
And it was a camp where youth leaders around St. Lucia, they were brought to a camp to really just hone their skills.
Right.
And after that, there was this campaign to start students' councils around the island in secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my students' council at my secondary school, which was Mikut Secondary School.
Right.
And I served as the president and vice president there for my 5 years, basically.
Okay.
And after that, during that time, actually, I started serving as a member of the Mikut Youth and Sports Council.
Mm-hmm.
That time it was Nadege and Louise. I really started getting involved in that area. So I understood that this is where I belong. This is what I want to do. And then it just really, really snowballed from there. I went to do youth parliament.
Wow.
In 2013.
Said that you're a former youth parliamentarian.
Yeah, I went
to
youth parliament. And throughout this time, I was always serving in Miku. And after that, I took this long stint to go to medical school. But at medical school, I was the president of something called the Spartan Mental Health and Wellness Association, where we did campaigns, health fairs for mental health, advocating for mental health support, especially in medical school. You can imagine.
Right.
It's tough. So it has an impact.
So you still found a way to
yes.
even while you were going through that extensive study. Oh, man.
So I took part in, I was the president of the Spartan Students Association as well.
Right.
And then after I left Spartan, I was like, okay, let me get back to my roots, mm-hmm. really and truly. So I went back into the Mikut Youth and Sports Council, and I was the PR person for them for a couple of years.
I could see why.
Even now, I'm still advising the team.
Right. At the council, the district council,
yes,
you are there still in a councillory capacity.
Yes.
Right.
And when I left medical school, imagine... You know, when you leave somewhere, it's kind of like a shocker.
Yes.
You're wondering, okay, what do I do now? This is where I discover myself, but where do I start?
Right.
And I remember I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw that Girls of a Feather was looking for Youth for Gender Equality ambassadors.
Right, because it said, while you were doing your studies in medical, mm-hmm. you realized you had a passion for
sexual
and reproductive health and also women and the, you
yes.
know.
So yeah. I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to really try to center myself and to really explore the questions that I have. So I applied, and then thankfully I got through. And I feel like that was the best decision of my life.
Right.
Because it exposed me to so many, the world of opportunities, mm-hmm. and people, and just amazing people, a sisterhood really. Mm-hmm. And I started off with my year tenure as the Youth for Gender Equality Ambassador. There we did some campaigns on sexual harassment. We also did plenty of workshops at secondary schools, focusing on gender-based violence, focusing on women's empowerment.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay, I love this. I really, really love this. How can I continue? How can I go forward? And after my tenure as a ambassador, Girls of a Feather had a She's Great program launching at secondary schools, which was basically teaching a gender curriculum, mm-hmm. where the students had to then come up with community programs with the curriculum. So I was like, okay, let me apply for this as well. And I got through. I became a facilitator with the Migu Secondary School, my alma mater. Nice. And it was an amazing experience. I loved my students. I loved the project that they came up with. We renovated the bathrooms. Wow. And we also, renovated the female washrooms. Made it a little more comfortable, a space where they would want to go to, a space where better lighting, better mirrors, brighter colors, so they'll be more comfortable with that.
For the benefit of persons who may not know, because we have a broad section of people all from overseas, what is Girls? Who is Girls of a Feather? What is Girls of a Feather?
Well, Girls of a Feather, we're a non-profit organization. We're focused on mentorship and empowerment for women and girls aged 12 to 17, but we do go under and over sometimes depending on the program. Right. Yes.
Yeah, so your role with them right now sees you doing what is your actual role within this?
So after I completed my facilitation with the She's Great program, there was an
opening. So that time you were not even part of them as yet, you were just
I was still part of them. So the facilitation came after the ambassadorship.
So you joined them before. And then, then the facilitation.
So
okay,
then after Chelsea, the executive director, she said to me, Diane, you know there is an opening for programs coordinator. And I was like, you know what? I'll shoot for that. So I applied and I got through and I started in September of last year. And I've been loving it ever since. We've been doing amazing programs.
I want to break it down a bit. As programs coordinator, what are you required to do?
So I basically design and execute programs for youth. So right now we have something called the Youth for Gender Equality Network going on.
Nice.
And we have a training hub where we have young leaders interested in gender equality. Mm-hmm. We give them the skills, the knowledge, and we network with them so that they hone the skills and the knowledge to really do what they love doing, to give back in the field of gender equality. We also have
Are you responsible for funding for this thing as well?
We have donors and funders,
right?
So basically apply for grants when we have an idea, and thankfully the grantors always pull through.
Right.
But right now actually we launched our web series.
How complete? When you're looking for grants for stuff like that. Now, you being program coordinator, you have to ensure that the product and that the execution, you have to be so thorough. So speak to your work there, and how has it been adding to, because it's not just so you're getting grant, let's be real here, you know.
you need to show
results. So give me a scaling there. How do you feel you've been doing in terms of
I feel like I've been doing well enough. A lot of times things are out of our hands. We're depending on a lot of people, a lot of young people, and you know, everything is crazy disease kind of. So we perform to the best of our abilities.
Right.
Most times we execute, so we are successful. Nice. And I really want to thank the young people that stay with us. And I want to thank Chelsea for always believing in the young people, believing in me for the programs that we put
sometimes
together.
Sometimes they don't even believe in themselves, you know, but you can't stop. You know, if you believe, you've got to show them that you still believe, whether they believe or not.
Yes.
That is great stuff. So what are one of the, is there any particular one program? You spoke about the bathroom rehabilitation program. Is there any particular program that you've said, okay, all right, I feel good, great about this one?
Well, we launched our web series, Sexual and Reproductive Health web series, in January.
Nice.
It's called Ruffling Feathers.
Is it something I could go look at?
So it's on our social media. We launch an episode every two weeks. It's a five-part docu-series.
Right.
And it's really about sexual and reproductive health and comprehensive sexuality education in St. Lucia. So it's following five young ladies, five hosts around St. Lucia. We interview doctors, we interview Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
We've gone to schools to find out the status of sexual and reproductive health and comprehensive sexuality education in the HFLA curriculum, because we want to know what is being taught and is it relevant to today's society.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, and we have a game show called Guess It, where we have the contestants guessing menstrual hygiene products, testing their knowledge.
This
is nice. Really fun. Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. You tweaked it to really adapt to the the people you're working with, young people. I could see how that could speak to them. Oh, good.
Thank you.
But now, though, let me ask you. We have to pay some bills, but now do you see, because here you are now, you're doing what your passion is, but there's some sort of medical stuff aligned there. So are you now seeing a marrying of the two?
Yes, definitely. I actually, it's a running joke between Chelsea and I, because both of us we've gone to school our entire lives, basically. And we were trying to figure out what we would do our master's in. Like, you know, we have a bachelor's, but what are we going to follow up with?
Right.
And I'm trying right now to find a merge between community work,
and your medical
policy and my medical field. So if
It will unfold. I believe it will unfold. You just do your thing, man. It will unfold. We'll all come together nicely. I'm going to take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia, who's our partner, and then we're going to come back and continue the conversation.
Okay, because
I want to tie in a couple of more things in there as well.
Yes.
There's more things that you're also involved in. So we want to get a stint of that as well. So we're coming right back. The Bank of St. Lucia, let's take a word from them. We'll be back. This is Youth Unplugged on RCI.
Finally, a card for everyday living. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card. Everything gets paid with my card. My utility bills, grocery shopping, that cute dress I saw online, my favorite entertainment and Netflix subscriptions. I collect points each time I use my credit card to redeem anytime. Yes! Imagine a credit card rewarding my lifestyle. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card for everyday people, everyday moments.
All right, thank you, Bank of St. Lucia. And we're back. For those of you who are joining us, we are live on Facebook as well. So you could get on there. I'm sitting in for Khalid. You don't like to be called Earthweek on a Thursday. And I agree with him. On a Thursday is professional thing. So it's Khalid Vidal. I'm sitting on behalf of Khalid Vidal. And I've got the amazing and awesome Diane Francis in our company. And she was telling us all about her journey into this, quite a lot going on there, medical field, community work. And she, the passion that she speaks with, I'm just sitting here in awe. I'm looking at her. I'm like, look at her. She's passionate. I have no doubt that wherever she, you know, she lends her service and her time and herself, she's given it a lot. She's given it her all, because I can feel the passion. Let's come back down. We spoke about just yesterday was
International Women's.
Of course, the theme, of course, this year was quite an interesting theme, but it's all gearing towards equity and equality for women. And you yourself, you have a passion and for advocating on behalf of the rights for women and girls as well. Tell me about that passion a little bit more, because just Tuesday, was it Tuesday?
Yes.
You were at the launch.
Yes, I was.
You were at the launch. So we had a launch. We had a launch on Tuesday by Spotlight Me Initiative with a number of different partners on that same topic where you know, they launch what is supposed to be rolled out for the next coming months.
2 months,
right, up until December. On that topic, eliminating
gender-based
violence, you know, all forms. Mm-hmm. And you were at that launch.
Yes.
And here you are, because you also, it's a no-brainer again that you were actually at the launch, because if you have that passion for such, what do you gather, what do you take off from that, and how do you intend to coincide it with everything else that is going on with you?
Well, I can say, actually, I want to give a lot of credit to my support system, my family.
Right.
Because as a young lady growing up, I realized I was surrounded by very powerful women.
Right.
Very outspoken women.
I could
that
tell.
Did not shy away from responsibilities, did not shy away from taking charge of things. And going out into the world as a woman, I'm seeing a different thing. I'm seeing where a space where women are said
marginalized.
No, we said we can't speak out. We can't. Ladies should be seen and not heard.
Good,
and that's not what I saw at home.
No,
so I was like, that's not what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Why can men do one thing and women can't? Why is it that way? We're all human.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really why I started going into the work that I did. Pivoting from youth work and community work more into human women's rights and children's rights, because I see the effects of women not being able to speak up. I see the effects of women being afraid, of women not being provided the same opportunities as men.
Mm-hmm.
And in St. Lucia, we like to say a lot of women are in powerful positions, but are they in powerful positions just for tokenism, or are they there because they can do the work and they are listened to?
Yeah.
A lot of the times here, we put women into the spaces just to say, women and youth actually, just to say that they're there. But
are we don't there. Empower them. We don't give them the
no.
right. Oh, okay, right.
So we don't give them the right. We don't listen to what they have to say. And we bring them to the table and then that's it. We just say, oh, there were five
just
women
to say
there.
They were at the
they
table.
Were there. And that's
oh,
so
man,
unfair.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I like how you look at that.
That's so unfair
and that's true.
To us because we know that most of the times... we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're saying it because we see the relevance and we right. see the importance of it. And just to say that because you're a woman, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter. It's completely absurd. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to be able to bring women into the space of Girls of a Feather and into empowerment just so that they can feel comfortable with being themselves, feel comfortable mm-hmm. with voicing their views, right. whether controversial or not. Mm-hmm. And... Being heard, really. Being heard. And taking all the feedback into consideration and really implementing what they want to see, what they want to hear, how they want to feel. And not just right. having them there as a
yes.
prop.
Right, you know. Right. You see that as an issue, ain't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, I mean, in your... Yeah, I think you by now, but... The way you're going there, you know, you won't have a choice but to listen to you in time to come or even now.
Hopefully.
You know, no, it's true. You have that about you. So if you are given the opportunity to drive a mission to be able to effect change in that light, how would it go? But I mean, we're talking. I'm just saying.
It sounded very. Would you go up for politics?
You are a former youth parliamentarian. So do you say that? I didn't want to come out on there because normally when I just ask, so people are kind of shy away. I didn't want to just come out and say you're going politics because some people are saying, oh no, you know. So I wanted, but you, I should have known better.
I mean, I'm really close to our representative in Miku, Jeremiah Norbert.
Right.
Jeremiah Norbert.
Great.
And I think on Friday I attended. A Women's Day conference at
okay.
Parliament.
Okay.
And I was having a conversation with someone, and they were like, you should go for do you think you would be going
elective
up for
politics?
Elective
yeah.
politics. I was like, okay, that is something to consider, but if I am to do this, I'm going to do it when I'm young, not when I'm old, not when I'm 60, not when I'm retired.
Right.
I'm to do
they
it
have
when
to
I'm
give
young.
You the open space
yes.
for you now, because that's when you're
when
agile.
When I have
and
the ideas.
You have the things.
When I want to
you
shake
have
the table.
Energy.
Definitely. And I don't want it to go there. I don't want to be in a space where I'm just, the first young ladies at 25, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that
nice
person.
It, just to sound nice.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's not for me because I will leave. Everybody that knows me knows I'm a no-nonsense person.
Right.
I say it how it is. I'm very respectful, but I say it how it is.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I know that in elective politics, that's a little...
Yeah, yeah.
Neither here nor there.
You can show the line a little bit.
Yes.
So, I love
so
that.
I'm not sure if it's really for me, but we'll see.
You'll try. But if they try to keep you in a box, that wouldn't work.
They would fail
yeah,
miserably.
Yeah, you would be up. Mm-hmm. And how about your business? And then you'll have this big program. Oh, you're going to take them on.
Yes.
I love this. I absolutely love this. Now, I want to talk a little bit. We got a few more minutes left. I want to talk a little bit now about, let's roll back around a little bit in terms of... you know, we speak extensively about the community mm-hmm. and how important it is. I mean, because when we hear of Miku, I am Grenadian, but I can't say without any doubt that we hear of Miku a lot. We hear of Miku a lot in these sort of areas. We always speak to people who are from, youths who are from Miku, who
yes.
are driven like you are. The Louise Victors, mm-hmm. the so much more. You probably could give me a few more names, you know, of young people who continue. Miku seems to be a community that births a lot of very driven young people.
Yes.
Do you think it has something to do with the community
culture.
Or the culture of the community?
I think so. I think Miku is a community where we're... basically a family. Everybody knows everybody.
Right.
It's a community raising a child, basically.
It's still that way. Oh, great.
So it's Miku is a space where when people see your talent, they will hone to it. They will give you the skills. They will, you know, adopt you as a mentee.
Wow.
Miku people are not they don't shy away from responsibilities. They don't shy away from opportunities. And they don't shy away for speaking. If you know meet somebody from Miku, you know they like to talk, and you know they will talk when they can talk. And even
right.
when they can't talk, they will speak. So
it holds you to accountability
yeah.
somehow, too, isn't it?
So Miku is really a space where young people are able to really hone their skills, to really give back. But, you know, working in the youth space, I'm seeing that a lot like we're starting to lack in that area.
You're because losing it?
Oh, yes, no. We're losing it slowly but surely.
And we should and be spreading it to the rest
really
of the
should. Yeah. And wow. I think a lot of people, you know, when it comes to St. Lucia, mm-hmm. when people come from smaller communities, they tend to leave that community and go out to the larger, maybe Castries, Grizzly. A lot of the times for jobs, right. and they don't really have the time to give back to their community. Right. So that's really why I see Miku.
Oh,
yeah,
it's this starting is, how to... How does that make you feel, though? Because, you know, we are watching. I mean, mm-hmm. you are a young person as well, but very, very calculated, I might say. And we are seeing now a lot of these little things that we once knew, as you know, in our time growing up, we are losing them.
Yeah.
And it's costing us, you know.
It is.
It is costing us. So what do we do? Have you been thinking along that line? Have you thought of it in that era and think about what it is that we can do to try to encourage us to see it? Mm-hmm. First, recognize it. Recognize that it is something to be protected, and then what we can do in order to safeguard that sort of you know, community kind of groundedness.
I think I think what we have to do is really go back to the importance of volunteerism. A lot of young people have lost
sight. But we need to also recognize, because if we don't, we must call to attention first the fact that, hey, this is something that we're losing sight yep. of, that created this sort of balance, that gave us this sort of result.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to probably have an avenue where we remind people again, this is what it is.
I think Miku people we're at that space right now where we recognize that we're no longer where we were 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
So what we really need to do now is to bring back these people, and young people who are capable, they need to now take up the mantle, because
tap into
their abilities and be able to mentor youth and be able to take people under their wing and really show them the ropes of what they do, show them the ropes of youth development, show them the ropes of and the benefits of volunteerism, because young people now don't see the benefits of volunteerism. They don't see meeting new people as a benefit. They're like, okay, I can meet somebody on Instagram,
you know.
I can meet somebody in the US from on TikTok.
Yeah.
So they don't really see the benefit, but it's not something tangible, but it's something that you can feel.
Yes.
It's something intrinsic that changes. It's something to your character that changes.
Yes.
And it's so beneficial when you move into the world of work, when you move into family, when you move into just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really want to bring that back to Miku, bring back to Miku all the programs, bring back to Miku all the mentoring, all the workshops, the grassroots football teams, the grassroots.
So is that something you're trying to work on now as an advisor to the youth council?
Definitely.
Right, that is amazing. We got 1 minute left. I tell you, see how fast it went, right? We got 1 minute left. Of course, there's young people who are listening, and I'm sure they're very intrigued. Those who knew you would have known what to expect.
Yes.
Those who are hearing you for the first time, even some of us big old hardback, when we're listening to you, makes sense. I mean, you're very, very avid. You mm-hmm. you speak the way you speak. It's you know, it's something that you could resonate.
Thank you.
If you were to leave anything with the listeners, especially the youths, what would you leave with them?
I think my message would be, don't shy away from pivoting. Don't be afraid to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times we set our eyes on a goal and we want to, especially if you're an overachiever,
mm-hmm.
You need to take that goal and run with it.
Right.
So a lot of times you have to sit back and be comfortable with pivoting, be comfortable with evolving and just taking the bull by its horns,
mm-hmm.
Taking your life into your hands and not really... I don't want to say not think about what others think of you, but put yourself first as a young person, as a woman, as a young woman. We're always told that we have to think about others, think about what others think about us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we now put ourselves first, speak to our passions, speak well about ourselves, go into, read about ourselves, get to know ourselves, love ourselves, and really build our self-confidence, then we'll be able to really hone our skills. We'll be able to give back. We cannot give from an empty cup.
Absolutely.
So we need to feed ourselves first.
Aww.
And don't be afraid to do that as a woman,
Aww.
As a young person.
You are lovely. You're amazing. What a wonderful... Who would have thought I've had such a lovely little half an hour here? Khalid, thanks. You want to take a day off next time? Thank you so much. You're an amazing young lady. And we give you the support that you need, whatever way we can. Just let us know. You
of
know,
course.
I like your energy. I really do.
Thank you so much.
And all the best in your future endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're quite an asset to your community and to your country.
Thank you so much.
Diane Francis, ladies and gentlemen, and that's where we wrap up. I almost said she speaks. We need to get her. She speaks soon. All youth and vlog for today. I sat in for Khaled. And thank you to the Bank of St. Lucia who made it all possible.